Let's just do a quick round. Are we okay on Zoom? And in the sanctuary? Okay. On the evening of the same day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked in the room where the disciples were for fear of the temple authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, the Savior showed them the marks of his crucifixion. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw Jesus, who said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my God has sent me, so I am sending you." After saying this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." It happened that one of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed Didymus or Twin, was absent when Jesus came. The other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen Jesus. We have seen Jesus." Thomas's answer to them was, "I will never believe it without putting my finger in the nail marks and my hands into the spear wound." Then to Thomas, Jesus said, "Take your finger and examine my hands. Put your hand into my side. Do not persist in your unbelief, but believe." Thomas said in response, "My Savior and my God." Jesus then said, "You have become a believer because you saw me. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus performed many other signs as well, signs not recorded here in the presence of the disciples. But these have been recorded to help you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the only begotten, so that by believing, you may have life in Jesus' name. The good news of salvation. I wonder if our kiddos, all of them big and little, might come up and sit in the front row. I think you can all sit up here, except Scott, who is required on the soundboard. Liza, Shannon, guys, you don't have to, but if you did, it would be nice to have your company. Thank you. So again, as often we priests do, I have a little question for you. And I wonder if you ever feel happy and sad about something at the same time. And can anybody think of a time that you have felt both happy and sad at the same time? One of the things I was thinking that you might be starting to think about is, like, spring break is over and you're going to have a little bit more school and then you're out for summer break, right? And so when you're facing summer break, you're like, "Oh, yes." And then you start remembering that you're going to not maybe see some of your best friends or your teacher most of the summer. And so at the same time as you're happy to be getting the break, you're sad that you're not going to see the teacher or the friends that you really love seeing every day. So now I'd like you to think about your faith in God for a minute. Have you ever felt like you really loved God so very much, like with all your heart, but at the very same time, you wondered something like, how could God be so big to love everybody, even people who are often really hard to love? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today, and you can listen. They can both be true at the same time. It's kind of like our hands. Our hands have two sides, and they're both good, and both sides of our hands help us to get through life. But when we put both of our hands together and pray, God holds all those opposite thoughts and feelings together in God's tender heart. The good feelings, the bad feelings, the in-between feelings. And so God helps us through our life with the help of one another and the Holy Spirit, whether it's happy or sad or both. And he gives us the strength to carry on through his Holy Spirit. Okay? So I think your parents might be missing you about now. So how about you go back and give them a hug, just because. If you feel like it. If you think you're too old, you can skip that. So, it's hard for me to believe Easter Sunday was just a week ago. Anybody else have that same feeling? Like, was that really just a week ago tonight that we held vigil? And tomorrow morning that we celebrated Easter Sunday and had the probably the best turnout and the most wonderful Easter egg hunt ever? I felt wonderful about our beautiful church services this year, and what a beautiful community experience to celebrate the Triduum with each of you. But when I got home, I was really, really tired, and I still needed to take care of my mom, cook Easter dinner for her and a guest, and then bring my mom back to assisted living. Somehow, by the grace of God and the help of a short nap, my joy from the feast celebrated and carried through in me the rest of the day and gave me strength. Then I crashed for 3 or 4 days. A little secret that you probably already know is that although clergy love Holy Week and Easter, it's exhausting, and most of us take several days, if not weeks, to recover. A very good reason Kay and Greg schedule vacation every year the week after Easter. Also, early in the week, I started to feel very sad. I had 2 friends die the week before Easter, and I had been so busy, I barely had time to think of them and grieve their loss. So I talked to a couple friends that week, and they used an expression that resonated with me. They said, "I don't feel very much like Easter this year." "I understand," I replied, but after those conversations, that expression haunted me. "It doesn't feel very much like Easter this year," I thought. And I prayed about that, and all I could hear the Spirit saying was, "Easter is not a feeling. Easter is not a feeling." I hadn't thought about that before. For Christians, Easter is a belief. Resurrection is both a gift and a choice. And resurrection can never be thought of as separate from the death and crucifixion that precedes it. Joy and sorrow, belief and doubt, pain and healing, death and new life are 2 sides of one hand, and are best held together rather than held separately in isolation from one another. In today's gospel, Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Christ turned her weeping to joy. She was so excited and hurried to announce to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Upon hearing these glad tidings of great joy, the disciples responded, "I doubt it." In our gospel today, the disciples, unconvinced by Mary's witness, are gathered together in fear with the doors locked when Jesus appears in their midst. This must have scared them pretty badly because Jesus' first words were ones of reassurance. "Peace be with you." Hearing Jesus' words, seeing Jesus' body, both wounded and glorified, the disciples finally believed. The disciples' encounter with the risen Christ turned their fear into joy. They were so excited that they hurried to announce to the other disciple, Thomas, who was not there, "We have seen the Lord." And upon hearing these tidings of glad joy, the disciple Thomas responds, "I doubt it." Now they know how Mary Magdalene must have felt. A week later, the disciples are gathered, and Thomas the doubter is with them. Today's gospel shows us what it's like to be a community of the risen Christ. The resurrection community is abundant enough to hold both the disciples' resurrection joy and Thomas's doubt, joy and doubt. And it is in this resurrection community that bears the glory of faith and the wounds of doubt that the risen Christ appears once again, offering words of peace to us. And it is in this community where Thomas first believes. Thomas's encounter with the risen Christ turns his doubt to joy, but it also transforms his doubt into a gift for others. This resurrection community that was brave enough to hold Thomas's doubt was also graced and blessed by the gift of Thomas's proclamation, "My Lord and my God," because here together the disciples were holding all of these things in common: joy and hope, grief and sorrow, doubt and faith, and no one was in need. All were blessed. These disciples show us what it means to be church. But instead, it brought what they had shared, and they were able to take that out to others. Some brought their abundance, while others brought their need. And they held all these things, both abundance and need, in common. And they were all blessed. And these blessings began to overflow into the world around them, bearing powerful witness to the risen Christ. How do our churches today compare to these early communities of disciples? How do we call forth the gifts in our community? Do we create space for people who look or live or love differently from us? I hope we can say yes. How do we welcome without fear or judgment all the needs of the people of God? Do we create space for grief and doubt and woundedness? How are we blessed by the presence of those in need among us? Do we recognize Christ in them? Blessed are those who were not there at the room or the tomb, and yet believe through the witness of our resurrection communities. Dear friends, we are called to be credible witnesses of Christ in the world, announcing that we have seen the Lord, not only through our words, but in the kind of community we create and live with each other. We are an Easter people, a community of disciples, beloved of God and witnesses to the resurrection. Ours is a church that is called to be radically inclusive. Our Easter joy is abundant enough to share with all and still have more left over. Our joy is deep enough to hold grief and sorrow and anger and doubt and fear. We are recognizable by our joy, yes, but also by our wounds, as Jesus was, and by the Spirit within us that greets all with a word of peace. May our community always make space for both joy of the resurrection and wounds in grief and doubt, so that the living God may come into our midst, speaking a word of peace, that we may believe, and through us, all may have life.